News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
Now, Gabia Gadvaskacha is with us. She is BBC Dublin correspondent, and she is here to have a look at some of the stories that you may not yet have heard and to give us analysis on some that you have. And an interesting one, the UN, of all people, is describing Ireland as a cautionary tale because of what's happened to us with data centres.
Yes, quite warning us about AI. So Ireland has been cited as a cautionary tale in this UN report on the environmental impact of runaway AI growth. Now, the report says that 21% of all electricity here is being used for data processing, and that figure is forecast to grow to more than 30% in the next few years as, of course, data centres expand to facilitate the huge processing capacity that AI needs. And if data centres, the physical backbone of AI, were a country, they would be the 11th most energy hungry in the world, which is similar to France, according to the report. So AI workloads for about 20% of data centre electricity use, but that is expected to rise to 40% by 2030, which is using enough power to supply 1.3 billion people in sub-Saharan Africa for the next 5 years.
That's an extraordinary stat. So that the world's AI alone consumes the same amount of power as France.
Yes, and also it accounts for this massive amount that's meant to rise again, and it could basically supply sub-Saharan Africa for 5 years. So when you think about it, I think it's sometimes difficult to put it into context how much data AI actually needs to work. Those kind of figures do paint quite a stark picture, don't they?
While we are talking infrastructure and all things related to it, interestingly, the supermarket chain Lidl has written to the government claiming that some of our planning regs are intrinsically anti-competitive.
I'm sure a lot of their competitors would agree, and a lot of other businesses too, but they're claiming that a rival is exploiting the planning system by initiating spurious objections to plans for its new outlets. So they wrote this letter to the Minister for Housing, James Brown. It's Lidl Ireland Chief Executive Robert Ryan who wrote the letter. He says the grocery retail business, it's heavily reliant on the planning system to reach customers by developing its own store network, and they're saying that the protracted timelines associated with obtaining final planning approval, even after the local authority and commission planologram permission, significantly delay our ability to proceed. And he says, we find that the current system is exploited, sometimes for anti-competitive purposes, through spurious objections.
Now, reading between the lines, what he's saying there is that some competitor sees Lidl are going to move in, I'll fling in an objection to either stymie them or delay them building the shop.
And that, he says that needlessly extends the development life cycle. So yeah, it just holds them up. And of course, you know, anybody can put in an objection, as we know, and they're saying people are, you know, using that for negative reasons.
You are obviously now BBC's Dublin correspondent. In a previous life, you were a political correspondent. Put that hat back on, because Simon Harris is saying never say never on Michael Healy-Rae returning to government. This after Michael and Danny Healy-Rae have fallen out in the most remarkable way.
Yeah, so we did hear that interview with Michael Healy-Rae on Radio Kerry earlier on in the week, where basically he said that his brother Danny effectively sacked him on air when he went on Radio Kerry and called for Micheál Martin and Simon Harris to be replaced the day before the no confidence vote. Of course, listeners will remember Michael Healy-Rae dramatically stood up in the Dáil and said that he's resigning, that he cannot back the government.
No, he said it was on point of principle at the time. He didn't say it was Danny's fault.
Well, the truth is coming out now, and Simon Harris was astonished that, of course, he's saying it's always painful to see kind of family acrimony play out in public. But he's saying on the question of Michael Healy-Rae perhaps coming back to government and taking up a junior ministerial role maybe a couple of years on, he says never say never. And of course, we know that Michael Healy-Rae was junior minister for agriculture, and he did say that it's a negative thing now that Kerry does not have a Healy-Rae in that portfolio.
Now, finally, favourite story of the morning thus far. People will be familiar with Otzi the Iceman. This was the man who 5,000 years ago was marching his way from, I think, Italy in through Austria, when he was shot in the back with an arrow, frozen in ice, and only discovered, I think, in the 70s or 80s. And they have been studying him ever since and have made recent interesting new discoveries.
Yeah, God love him. I was looking at photos of him this morning. I feel bad for him. But scientists have now found 4 different types of yeast in the brownish meltwater trapped inside the frozen corpse. Hold on to your breakfast now if you're listening to this, right? So they're saying apparently they can use it for bread. So initial attempts to revive the fungus failed. But after 3 months of work, researchers succeeded in creating, quote, very, very good sourdough. And the next sentence is great. With bread conquered, they say brewing beer is, quote, next on the list, Anton.
So they found yeast in slurry inside the guts of a guy who's been dead for 5,500 years. And they made bread out of it.
Yes, so there's microorganisms that existed in and around the mummy apparently for thousands of years. And they've been able to extract yeast from that. And they've been able to make bits of food from it. And would you try it, Anton?
Oh, yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you? If somebody went, listen, here's a little bit of Otzi yeast bread. Thank you so much. Give me a Gadamiskatcha, BBC Dublin correspondent.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.